This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And how's it going, everybody? The year is almost over. But here we are to finish it up with one of our favorite guests, Lee Channing, with us in the studio today.
Hi, Rick.
How you doing, Lee?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I thought I would drown before I got here, but I love rainy days, so I can't complain.
Well, you know, I brought Lazarus with me. We'll chat about that in a minute. Lazarus, not as much of a fan of rainy days. For those who don't know Lazarus, my elderly senior dog rescued from a life of bear hunting and loss of fights with bears. So it is the 29th. We're finishing up the year. We'll take a few phone calls in just a minute. Give us just a second. We have some, some FCC things to do with the phone. Brandon, let me know when you're up and ready and we can take calls in. We have to use the phone for out for just a minute. But write it down, 434-979-0919. Lee Channing, our guest today. Lee, for some, known as a psychic, for others, an intuitive analyst. Looking back on the year, some things that happened, looking upcoming forward to 2014. Lee will take calls and questions for a variety of things, health, careers, love. So dial us up. Lee, well, I always feel like starting the same way. Not everyone is familiar with you. What's your background? How do you get to this point and make this a career?
Well, it's been a long time coming, as you know, Rick. I think I've been coming to the show for well over 10 years now, I think. I was trying to think this morning, and I love doing it. But to go back a little bit, when I was a child, I knew that I could understand the animals. So, you know, I talked with the animals, not in words, but in feelings and in pictures. And then when I was a teenager, I thought, that's ridiculous. Other people can't do that, so I'm not doing it. But then in my early 20s, I began to have extremely vivid clairvoyant experiences, which were pictures in my mind of events happening as they happened. Not good things, but things like car accidents and things that I really didn't want to see. So I just thought I was losing my mind. So, but I was blessed to find a parapsychologist at UVA who led me in the right direction. He explained to me that actually my mind was fine, but that I was clairvoyant and that I read energy, that I could learn to read energy. And so I spent the next few years studying, researching. I went to the University of Minnesota, studied parapsychology, ended up in Oregon at a small Native American college there, and really learned so much to create a base that I enjoyed about how you use your intuitive abilities. Everybody is intuitive, and you use them in different ways at different times. But so the last 30 years, I've done work with reading energy for people, animal communication. I do a lot of work using color, the color that connects to each of your energy centers in your body. So I'm also a hypnotherapist, work with past life regression. So I do a lot of different things, but I'm very blessed. I work with people all over the world, and I enjoy reading energy, and it's nice to be here with you.
And for those who aren't familiar with Lee, your business, Spirits Evolving, is right here, just down the road from the station.
Absolutely, just off of Old Abbey Road.
And we'll mention the web address many times throughout the hour, but Spirits, with an S at the end, SpiritsEvolving.com.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome to dial in now, 434-979-0919. As I always say, somebody has to be first on the dance floor, and then the phone will regularly start ringing for questions to Lee Channing. And I didn't mean Rusty Simpre to be first on the dance floor. You got some work to do with that. Lee, you were talking about the weather, right? And the rain today and how you like, rainy days. But doesn't weather, weather has an effect on people's emotions.
Absolutely.
And emotions have an effect on people's decisions.
Yes.
So talk about that and how the weather affects the decisions and then therefore the outcomes that people end up with.
Absolutely. So many things in our lives that we don't always pay close attention to affect the decisions that we make, you know, the choices that we make on a daily basis. But if you know, some people are like, I love rainy days. I really do believe that the rain opens up part of your intuition. The moisture sitting by a lake, going to the ocean, a rainy day really does make a difference. But there are some people that will tell you right up front, rainy days depress me. I am very sad. I am very quiet. I am very down. If you already know that, remember it so that you don't make a major life decision on a rainy day. As silly as that may sound, it's very true. If you know you're at your peak energy on a bright sunny morning at 8 o'clock, then that's when you should try to make major life decisions. If you know that a rainy afternoon, all you want to do is sleep, you know, you really don't want to do anything, remember that. I mean, so many people go, oh, I decided yesterday to do that. And then you realize I was down, I was slow, I wasn't feeling quite myself. So read your own energy. I suggest that people write it down. When are you the most energetic? Some people are, quote, night people. Some people are morning people. And you really are. You come here that way. So you need to use that to your best advantage.
Sort of keeping a diary?
Absolutely. Even if you do it for a week, when do you feel stronger? When do you feel weaker? Do you wake up in the morning with great ideas? When you go to bed at night, is that when you get your great ideas? I do. I'm a night person, really. My great ideas, my big insights, many times will come in the evening, not always at bedtime, but in the evening, you know, after dark. Some people will wake up in the morning. That's the only time they feel totally alert and aware of their total being to make decisions. But it's difficult because I can't tell you make your decisions in the morning unless I'm doing a personal reading. Then many times I will suggest that, or I will say, this is a time in your life when you may have a little more power, in the evening. So it can change a little bit. But most people know, they just don't pay attention.
Again, our guest today, Lee Channing, an intuitive analyst. Dial us up with your question. We'll take phone calls. Brandon's out there, 434-979-0919. Questions about the topic of your choice for Lee. Again, it's the end of 2013. 2014 is just a few hours away, really. Lee, you talk about making decisions. Are certain types of decisions, although you can't tell one person to they're better off making their decisions in the morning or the evening because it changes from person to person. But what about types of decisions? Are decisions on relationships better made after a full day, or are health decisions better made when you wake up in the morning kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Rick. That's why I enjoy the show so much. You think of great questions. Actually, the answer to that is a little vague for a great question, but it doesn't usually make a lot of difference. Most people, probably the majority of people, when you first wake up in the morning, that is the best time to make your health decisions, because that's when you decide, are you going to exercise today? Are you going to take a walk? Are you going to eat? It's a little bit hard to make some health decisions at bedtime. You can say, I should have walked my mile today. I should have done this. So in general, I would say if you're going to pick a decision to make in the morning, let it be about your physical health. You know, this is what I'm doing. Some emotional decisions about relationships, you need to try to make those when you're feeling less emotional, believe it or not. That's one of those sort of counterintuitive things that, you know, when you're in the midst of an emotional surge, whether that be love or hate or anger or fear, whatever you're going through, you may want to let everything calm down because, you know, once you say those nasty words to your friend or your partner, you can't take them back. So it is really a wonderful idea to walk away intuitively as well as logically, and leave those decisions until your energy clears a little bit.
This is 91.9 WNRN in Crozet and the Valley's 101.1. Happy holidays here from WNRN and the Wake Up Call, Rick Moore and Lee Channing. Lee, we're talking about how the weather affects things, and right. And some people say, I just don't like rainy days. Do those things, once you have that feeling, and whether it's because there was some incident that happened in the past on a rainy day, or maybe you just don't like, you know, getting your hair wet or whatever it could be, simple or important, can you change?
You know, yes, but not dramatically. I can't, I mean, you could certainly do a poll, but most people, if from childhood, they will be able to say, I love cold weather. I love playing in the snow. Never really liked the beach. Didn't like getting the sand in my feet. Always loved waking up in the morning on a rainy day and get ready for school and get the umbrella. Or I tried to stay home every time it rained because I didn't want to go out in the rain. So it's really, I think, a choice that we bring with us. Could you change it with enough focus? Yes. But in general, I don't think you change that much. If you look back at your life, you know, not that something had to happen either. Just seems like it comes that way. I remember when I was a child, my mother thought that Sunday afternoons were very sad. I don't remember why, but that's because you had a family dinner and then everybody was getting ready for Monday morning and going to work. And I remember her numerous times saying, I can't believe how sad Sunday afternoons are. So I don't feel sad on Sunday afternoons, but I remember that as a child. So I think you're also affected. If your entire family stays up late and you're not a night person, that can be pretty confusing for a while, especially for a child. There are plenty of children that are night people. You know, they don't want to go to sleep. It's really hard. Other children want to go to bed at 7 o'clock. So it really, I think we do bring a lot of that with us. You could change it with real focus, but only if it's necessary.
All right. So we always jump into this sometimes sooner, sometimes later in the hour. You work with colors is, I guess, one of your specialties.
Yes, it is.
And your book, again?
Yep, Intuitive Color Awareness Guide.
By Lee Channing. You mm-hmm. can find it on Amazon. You can go to the website, spiritsevolving.com. Right. I've been pointed out to me that leechanning.com also works.
Right.
So the colors that people wear also have an effect on how they're feeling and what they're doing, correct?
Absolutely. And I think a much deeper effect than most people realize. When people start working with color, they will call me and go, it made a huge difference that I wore that. I have a friend in Atlanta who had to go to court to testify as an expert witness, and she made the call, what color do I wear to court? Which a lot of people have asked me. And, you know, you want to wear dark blue to court. You want to wear, you know, you don't want to go into court with a bright yellow shirt on. It's just not energetically a wise thing to do. It draws attention. You know, it's a little too bright. People may think you're too outgoing. They wonder if you're telling the truth. So they're everything that you do. And the color that other people wear has an effect on you. I'm wearing a purple shirt and a purple scarf, and that's affecting you. Purple is a very gentle color. So you know, it may be 1% or 50%, depending on the person that you're interacting with, but it really does make a difference. Your shirt always have to pick on you. It's gray with red, and you know, your shirt reminds me of a nice warm fireplace.
It's a flannel shirt.
It is, and it looks the color of a flannel shirt. If you had a bright, can you imagine a bright yellow flannel shirt? Has anybody ever seen a bright, no, Rusty's going, no. Nobody's ever seen a bright yellow flannel shirt. Somebody will tell me they wore one. But you just don't do it. Flannel is meant to be warm and soft. And your shirt today looks like a wonderful shirt for a rainy afternoon to sit in front of the fireplace. It's a nice red. It's not too bright. You know, it's very strong. So good job on your shirt today. I usually pick on you for that.
Well, but you also, but that's part of what you do is do the color analysis. And so sometimes I think about what I'm going to wear and sometimes I don't. And today I thought, I didn't specifically pick this shirt for you, but when I selected the shirt, I'm like, oh, I don't think Lee's ever seen that one before.
I don't think I have.
Because sometimes you point out that the shirts are quite faded.
Well, just a little washed 400 times. But other than that, you know. But it's so interesting to see. I'll tell people when I do a reading, I read their colors. I tell them what colors are most active. Usually people have one or two colors that are really most active. And I'll say, go home and look in your closet. You know, what have you been buying for the past year? What colors? Many times they're going, I have been buying nothing but blue. I have been buying nothing but dark red. Or, you know, a man will say many times, well, I don't buy any of my clothes. My wife does. But then if you start talking, you get him a little bit deeper into the energy of it. He will say, well, you know, when I wear that blue shirt, I really feel in control. But when I wear that red shirt, I feel a little overexcited. I feel a little over-energized. So color is making a difference everywhere. So everyone listening should examine the color in their lives and really pay attention to the colors that they're wearing and how it affects them.
Excellent. Again, Lee Channing with us today. She's our guest, an area spiritual, what's the word that has escaped me at the moment? Spiritual analysis, that's not the word that I want.
Well, you're looking for analyst, but intuitive consultant.
For some, they just prefer the easy word, psychic.
Right, right.
Call us up. Again, Lee Channing with us, 434-979-0919. We got a call. We're going to try this new method of technology. Caller, are you with us? Ta-ta-da. Caller, are you with me? No, because we can't hear you. Try one more time. Gosh, I really am unhappy with this new phone system. But it is what it is. I had a similar problem last week, Lee, but if you call in on line two, hopefully it's not an issue. Just don't use line one. For many people, you know line one. Use your cell phones. Use your house phone. 434-979-0919. Just remember out there that you can't use line one. You have to use line two or use your cell phone to reach us up. Lee, Lazarus is with us.
He is. He's right here beside
me. He's right here beside you. Lazarus often has something to say to you about how he's feeling, about what's happening at the house. When winter gets here, he always says how cold it is.
Always. He always tells me he wants to be warm.
Yeah, so I put his coat on him today.
He has a beautiful brown jacket on with a pocket. Now, I don't know if he carries his wallet in the pocket.
No, that's for me to keep his keys in there. Hang on, we'll come back to him.
Okay.
Carl, are you with me? I just don't get it, boys and girls. We are using line two. Get that gentleman. It sounds like a male. I can hear him coming through the speaker out in the back. So get that question, and we'll pass it on to Lee. Again, 434-979-0919. Please dial us up for our guest today, Lee Channing. So Lee, back to Lazarus. He's got a pocket on the top. That's for my keys.
That's so cute, I know.
How's he feeling? What's he telling you?
You know, he just feels, I mean, he's elderly. He's... this morning, he sort of showed me, as soon as I saw him, he sort of showed me some, stairs. Like, he was taking another step down. He felt a little slower than last time I saw him. Now, it's been months, so it's not dramatic. But he actually feels even more neutral. He wasn't complaining. You know, he is warm. I think he seemed to feel warm. But he showed me that he was a little less energetic is probably the right word. And that's very normal for a dog his age. I don't feel that. Many times I've said his ear feels weird or his neck feels sore. This time he has really no complaints, which is good. You know, he doesn't like the colder weather. But he is actually on a more level field than the last time I saw him. You know, when you have those bumps in the road where he'd had surgery at one point and he was this and he was that or his ear hurt, this time he feels like he's very neutral. He's staying on the same plane. So I would say he's very peaceful. That's a good way to describe his energy today.
Is he, ask him about his food.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Because we spent several days at my parents' house and multiple stairs. And after a day, his... the issue with his legs was quite bothersome. And so I called our area vet who got his, got me some medication at the local pharmacy where
right,
I was.
Right.
And if I put it in some peanut butter, he ate it. If I put it in his food, he apparently, I don't know whether it ruined the taste, you know, whatever it had to do. He did not want anything to do with that.
Right. Well, he doesn't want much medication anymore. He's a little more sensitive than he used to be in every way, you know. And that's again, normal for an elderly dog. He's been through a lot in his life with the bear and those kinds of things. But, you know, I think right now, the only thing he showed me was that he wants the food that has red in it. Now, since I'm open to color, I don't know what that is. If there's food that you know he has, that he has access to, that has red, the color red in it, he shows me eating something red, not peanut butter, which of course is fine, particularly for an older dog. You don't want to give him a lot of it, but, you know, some of it is absolutely fine. But, you know, I think he's really on his own. He's in his own space at the moment. So I think there's not much you need to shift or change. Let him set the rules. I think he really wants to say when he eats and how he eats. And other than keeping him warm, this is actually the calmest I've felt his energy. And it's not that he's not interested. It's just he's slowing things down a little bit. And that's very natural for him, you know, very normal for him. So I think he's doing really well. So...
And you do take questions about other pets.
Oh, absolutely. Again, I do a lot of work with pets.
And whether or not we can get you to ask that online or not, we can, you know, Rusty's here to trying to help me figure out why the, you know, when changes in the control room were made.
Well, it looks better in here. It really is.
It is. Some it's nice much new more wood. Attractive. Yes. But we can pass along your question if we can't get you on air. There we go. The phone is ringing. You got a question there,
I do
Lee?
Have a question here that was passed on to me. And okay. We can start on that while you see if the phone will answer.
Go ahead.
And it's a logical question. What will 2014 be like? Will it be better than 2013? And, of course, you know, that sounds like a simple question, but that varies from person to person. But I think overall, the last couple of years, I think we're on an upward trend. I think there are more people asking about spirituality. I think there are more people looking into deeper into themselves. So I feel very optimistic about 2014, and we can certainly go into more detail, you know, if we need to. So,
but the difference between the upcoming year, 2014 and 2013, tell me about it.
Well, the difference becomes, you know, it's a date on the calendar. You know, but it is very, quite a lot of energy surrounding that.
Right, because even though it's really only another 24 hours to go from 2013 to 2014, for the psyche, it is a massive change.
Right, but the year doesn't make the energy of the people. The people make the energy of the year.
Right.
So people do become a little more optimistic in January. So it can grow and then fall down again. But I think the last couple of years, I think people have become, not just the economy, but I think people are becoming more aware. I have more people that are asking the right questions about spiritual growth and things that they can do. So I feel like that 2014 is going to be, for most people, a better year. Everything will still happen. People will die. You know, our pets will die. I mean, different things will happen, and that's going to happen. But I think the overall energy is growing stronger, and I have felt that for a lot of years, actually. But I think the last couple of years, it's growing a little bit faster, and more people are paying attention. But everybody can make it better. You can make it better. I can make it better. Everybody can make 2014 better by staying positive and loving and open and compassionate. All the things that we all need to be doing on a regular basis. Anyway, let the new year be a new excuse, a new reason.
11:23 here on the Wake Up Call with our guest, Lee Channing.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
The Markets of Tiger Fuel Company, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street.
Ragged Mountain Running Shop, number 3 Elliewood Avenue on the UVA corner. Ragged Mountain specializes in hard-to-fit feet, injury resolution, and training advice, and features nearly a dozen brands of running shoes. Charlottesville's community running headquarters since 1982, the Ragged Mountain Running Shop.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks so much for being with us today. It is just a few days left in 2013. Our guest, Lee Channing, with us. Call us up, pass along your question to Lee. Lee, how do you, you know, we've done this before when the phones were unhooked from the board. I'm not sure exactly what the issue is today. Stupidity by the guy on this side of the board or technical wires undone.
Let's just say technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. Call us up, though, because if nothing else, you can pass along your question.
Sure. And I can read the question.
Brandon to do this. So how do you do that?
Well, I mean, I think we have talked about that before, and it's interesting because many years ago in the 70s, when I first started doing personal energy readings, I would use psychometry. I would hold your watch or your ring and while I talked to you to really focus. And then a little bit later on, I didn't need to do that. And then a little bit later on, I started doing some radio and then at fax, and then I was the Seville psychic in the Seville newspaper for 6 or 7 years. And I realized I could pick things up by handwriting, just hold your letter. And that just, it really just evolved. It went into something where I realized that a lot of years of practice, I am able now to do a lot of my readings are overseas. You know, I do a lot of work with Europe and Scandinavia and Australia. And I just, when I tune into the question, I really don't even need the person's name. You know, people have certainly called in anonymously. So it's a matter of, when I get a question, I simply tune into the energy of the question, and an intuitive response comes. And, you know, again, it's quite a blessing. But I've gotten so the last 20 years that it has become a little easier and a little easier. But I never tune into anyone without their permission. A lot of people say, well, are you going to look at other things? No. If you call in and you ask a question about your dog, that's all I'm tuning into. So it's not as though I infringe on your energy. Or if you ask me about someone else, I would do it very lightly. I don't go into anyone's energy without their permission. And a lot of people have asked me that recently, it seems. So, but if anybody has a question, they can certainly call in, and I'll still be responding to that person and the question that they have. So,
all right. So we did get a call.
Okay.
Callers, pass along your question to Brandon, and then we'll put you on hold. And if we can get you live on the phone to do this, to connect with Lee, great. And if...
Because that's always fun. It's nice to hear the voices
right.
For, I think, everybody else as
if
well.
If the technical issues continue, we will at least have your question.
Right.
And here's a question from Lisa. Again, 434-979-0919. Question from Lisa that says, is there a way to change negative energy and how?
Okay. Well, that's we could talk the rest of the time about that. So, Lisa,
yeah,
really
I got to follow up on that.
Really good question. So, yes, the first thing you have to do with negative energy is to recognize it. Many people can be around a person and not realize why they don't feel well or, you know, they're just uncomfortable. It may be that person is knowingly or unknowingly giving off that negative energy. When I say, I don't even like the word negative, it's dark energy. It's unhealthy energy. You know, it's energy that serves no positive purpose. But yes, it is. But the first thing to do, if it's within you, and I think a lot of people deal with that, they feel that negativity coming up. I had that happen late when somebody said, you know, I say these mean things and it pops out. And then afterwards, I'm so sorry and I don't mean to do it. What you have to do is recognize the feeling of that energy first. If it's within you, there's always a reason. It could go back for days or weeks or years. But as soon as you feel that, you need to stop, take a deep breath, and change that energy. It can be changed. If your negative energy comes to you in a form of black, which is usually what happens, you feel that darkness, bring in some light, literally. Turn on another light, light a candle, work with it. But the most important thing, the intention of releasing negative energy is a very powerful one. The simple intention. I know that person has negative energy. I'm protecting myself. Put a light around yourself and say, I'm not going to be affected by that. When I do readings for people that are in very, very sad condition in their life, they're having a lot of things happen and they do have the dark energy, I make sure, number one, that I protect myself, and number two, give them ways. It can be visualization. It can be lighting candles. It can be short meditations, not long meditations when there's a lot of dark energy around, but absolutely. So, and again, we could talk about that the whole hour. But
well, I see the phone is up again. Again, 434 877-979-0919. Our guest today, Lee Channing, here on WNRN. This is Community Independent Radio. You can go to spiritsevolving.com. You can go to leechanning.com to read more about Lee. You can also do that, and Lee, if my memory is correct, somebody can send you a single question.
Absolutely. After the last radio show, I think I must have gotten, I can't even tell you how many, a lot of really nice people. You go right on the website, and it says to ask a question, and you just click on a form, and the question comes to me. And usually within the week, you know, within a few days, I'll get your response. You know, if from that you have a second question, you know, I do that too. Some people need a full reading. They really enjoy it. It's probably an hour and a half, and we do that. But if there's one thing on your mind, should I take that new job? That can be really helpful just to get some outside support, and that's absolutely fine. So
again, careers, medical issues, emotional relationship issues, or ask about your pet.
Oh, yeah, any kind of spiritual growth issue. A lot of people want to know, what types of books should I be reading? And, you know, and there's always a time to sort of make sure you're keeping up with your own spiritual growth.
Well, Lisa asks about negative energy. So I want to kind of tie some things together we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Earlier today and in past conversations with you, Lee, we've talked about how everyone has some skill, whether it's minute and they ignore it, or you have built it up and enhanced it at reading others.
Right.
So if you are reading negative things about what might happen, if I am, and I'll use myself as an example, it's not necessarily true, but it's easy to put myself in the spot so that people don't think I'm talking about them. If I believe that a negative behavior or a negative event is going to happen, I see that decisions that are being made or things that I am being told or have heard about are going to lead to a negative or something that I consider to be a negative outcome. Am I making it more likely to happen because now I'm focused on it because I don't want it to happen?
Oh, good question. I'll tell you, we need you to keep on asking questions today. Yes, no, and maybe. So thank you. No, it's one of those things when people who, in general, people who, if you were a person who always worried about the negative, particularly future, as opposed to that's being precognitive, you know, looking at the world through your precognition, as opposed to your clairvoyance, your current energy flow, you live in life with what if. What if my car runs off the road on the way home? What if Laz gets sick tomorrow and dies? What if, you know, my mom fell down and broke her leg? What if I lose my job? What if my tire goes flat? There are people who live in that what if. That is a good example of, quote, negative energy. That what if takes over your life. So anybody, if you know it, that's you, anybody listening, and you live in what if, you need to stop that. You need to live in the moment. If you're seeing something negative or sensing something negative that may happen to someone else, you've got to realize you cannot control that. Turn it around, send them good energy, send them positive energy. So whenever you feel that, turn it around. And everybody is capable of doing that.
All right. I want to come back to that, but okay. We're going to try this phone again.
Okay.
And Lisa, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Oh, a voice.
I have a different Lisa. Lisa, go ahead. I'm not going to read your question. I'll let you ask the question.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Lee. My question is, I'm currently in a troubled relationship. However, of course, with any relationship, there's a lot of good energy there, but there's also quite a bit of bad. And I have a lot of feelings for this person, and they claim to have a lot of feelings for me as well. But it's been going more and more south lately, and I just wanted to see if you have some type of feeling or intake that you could give me concerning that and some advice.
Well, very nice question, and very nice to meet your energy. You have a lot of strong energy, which means in a relationship, you really need to have things clear, honest, and open. I feel like as soon as you said, you know, you said the keywords, it's troubled, it's going south, which I never understood. I like going south. But anyway, you know, downhill, maybe, you know, I think that it's you have such amazing, powerful energy and so much to share with someone else that you cannot settle for an iffy, troubled relationship. I really believe that. I think this relationship needs to be sidelined. If you're not quite ready, you're very strong-willed, so if you're not quite ready to let it go, that's okay. Move it over for a while. Let yourself have some time to grow, to learn, because you're kind of going full speed in your spiritual growth. You are absorbing energy. You are doing the right things for yourself. You need to do more of them, probably, as most all of us around. But I think that with your energy right now, you're in a wonderful place to stop any kind of irritation. And that means usually relationships. It can also be career, but just pull everything to a complete halt so it doesn't go south any farther. But to let things be for a while. Go, wait a minute, let's back up. You know, let me back up. I don't think it would take but a few weeks for you to realize that it may well be time to let this relationship go or change it completely. I would be surprised if it's workable. I would intuitively, I don't feel a huge connection working right now. But I have seen that on occasion turn around a little bit. But if I were sitting with you and, you know, we had a long conversation, I'd say, you know, just back away, back up for a while. Don't play the game anymore, because you need to make sure that you're totally open and totally honest with yourself first. And I think you're trying very hard. I think maybe you're trying too hard. So I'd back up a little bit, take care of you. You've got so much to offer. So just, you know, really be good to you for a while, even if it's a matter of weeks.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lisa. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
A voice on the phone. That was good.
I know. Well, you know, sometimes people just have to touch the wires and twist the wires and tug the wires. Wires like a little vacation, too. 434-979-0919. Questions for Lee Channing. Again, relationship question. Earlier we had a question about pets. I was asking about Lazarus. Lee, again, call up Lee Channing here with us today on WNRN.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
Specialty Beverage of Virginia, featuring Terrapin Brewing Company's Recreation Ale. This hopped-up session ale is specially formulated to accompany you on all of your outdoor activities. You can pack in this flavorful ale and pack out the memories. To celebrate this release, you can enter to win an Osprey pack from Terrapin at terrapinbeer.com.
Just Curry. Just Curry is at 425 East Main Street on Charlottesville's Downtown Mall. Just Curry serves Indo-Caribbean curries with vegetarian options Monday through Saturday. Now open for dinner on Friday. You can find Just Curry on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Katie Murrah, Peabody School's Director of Admissions. Peabody Middle School offers a supportive and challenging experience for 6th through 8th grade students. The Batten Building, opening for the 2014-15 school year, will provide middle school classrooms, a gymnasium, and a performing arts space. Peabody School will host a winter open house Wednesday, January 15th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. During open house, prospective parents may tour the school, meet students and teachers, and observe classes. Information sessions about middle school, led by students and faculty, will occur each hour. You may learn more at peabodyschool.org. I'm Katie Murrah, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest, Lee Channing, a local intuitive analyst, psychic, whatever you'd like to call, 434-979-0919. Call us up with your question. Seems like we got the phones all, you know, treated nicely and ready to go. So, Lee, we were talking about clairvoyant versus precognitive. My question was for someone who believes that they are reading a negative events taking place. But, and you seem to, or what I heard was you saying that that is someone who is sort of being precognitive in a negative manner.
Right.
But aren't there people who, I mean, can't you be clairvoyant and foresee a negative outcome?
Clairvoyance has nothing to do with foresee. Well, yes and no. Clairvoyance means you are reading the energy clearly at this moment. I am looking at you and reading your energy. So I am not looking to your future, but when I start reading that energy, if I wish to read you as to, are you going to get a new job 10 years from now? You know, we can go into that precognitive. So, I mean, there's a fine line between that. A good example of the difference is in a dream. If you have a dream that tomorrow, and you know it's daylight, it's a different day, your grandfather's going to call you. That's a precognitive dream. Sure enough, tomorrow your grandfather calls you. That's precognitive. But if you dream that your grandfather is right there in the room with you, and he's talking to you, and he's telling you something, that's much more being clairvoyant. You're doing it at the moment. You're seeing something. People see their grandfather die. They wake up and they go, oh my gosh, I had this dream that my grandfather died. Sure enough, 90-year-old grandfather died while they were asleep, you know. So it can happen. But there's the difference in that is when you, clairvoyant is reading the energy as it is or seeing something happen right now. Being precognitive is going into the future. So yes, when you read energy and the way it is now, really it has a goal. That's how reading, a good psychic reading should be no more than the pendulum. It goes back. If you continue to have the same battery, the same operation in your clock, the pendulum is going to go there. The job is going to be there, the marriage, the relationship. But, you know, you can switch it. So anytime you get a good psychic reading, there's still a chance that 2 years from now, 5 years from now, I've had people come to me and go, well, so-and-so said I'd be married this year, and I haven't even met anybody. Well, maybe you didn't keep up your growth. You know, you need to do your own life's work. You can't just go to somebody and go, oh, by the way, you're going to get another job. You're going to get married. You're going to be healthy. You have to do your work to stay that way. So using these energies, whether it's being clairvoyant or precognitive, is just learning to use that energy and pick it up.
All right. So I want to jump into something that you and I touched on. Just like, say the word. We never really got into any depth about it.
Sure.
Addictions.
Right.
Certainly
right.
Because as we jump into 2014, people, I guess the standard expected behavior is to come up with ways to change your life.
Yep.
And whether you're addicted to smoking or eating too much chocolate or, lounging on the sofa without actually getting up and taking your daily walk.
Yep.
So talk about addictions.
Well, I've had a lot of people call me recently about addictions, too. So I think it is high on the list right now of energetic possibilities that you can work on. On New Year's, you know, I'm not one to suggest anyone make a New Year's resolution, but how many people are going to say New Year's resolution is to stop smoking? New Year's resolution is to stop drinking, to stop eating chocolate, those kinds of things. And I think that, you know, it's a powerful time. It really is. Especially, you know, when it's cold outside, it's winter, it's really a good time to look at your habits and see what you need to change. And I think that when you realize that almost everyone, I'm not sure I've ever met a human being that didn't have some level of addiction to something. Many people, their addiction is to a relationship. Their addiction is to another person, their relationship. You know, I know I've met more than one mother who they're addicted to their child. It's an addiction, an obsession. It's not a normal relationship where it means they have to be in contact. They have to know. They have to know what's happening. You can be addicted to running. You can be addicted to reading. You can be addicted to your spiritual growth. You can be addicted to psychic readings. You can say, oh, I've had people go, oh, well, you know, I had a reading last month by Joe over there and this, that, and the other. And, you know, you have to realize that we are creatures of habit. Habits can become addictions. And many times you stop smoking, but you start chewing gum 28 hours a day. You know, you feel one addiction, you take away one and you add one. You don't drink anymore, so you're no longer addicted. That's probably not true. Maybe you've become addicted to caffeine. Maybe you've become addicted to cigarettes in a heavier manner. So everybody should, at any given time, check their life for addictions. And yes, you can deal with them. And yes, you can make them better.
All right. Let's cut into that conversation. Carrie, are you with us? Carrie.
Oh, hello.
Yes. Hi. Your question for Lee.
Hi, I was just reading a book by a professor here at UVA called Return to Life, and it's about children's memories of past lives, and the children are very much affected by their memories of their past lives. And so I was wondering what if you could speak more generally to how past lives might affect us in our present lives, even if we don't remember them.
Oh, that's a wonderful question. And I have not read that book. I actually wanted to. As you probably know, Ian Stevenson, who was at UVA for many, many years, wrote some wonderful books about children and reincarnation. I think he went to India and studied 40 cases of reincarnation, maybe one of the books. Anyway, I read it a long time ago. But yes, and in this country, we don't trust children enough to say when they say, I used to be, I had a friend who, her son told her, I used to be your mom. When you and I used to be sister and brother, and then you just left the kids off. But it's really very true. In my opinion, we all are ongoing spirits, and we do have past lives. And, you know, we can learn a great deal from that because it is going to affect you. When I learned to do past life regressions with a professor in Oregon back in the 70s, it was amazing to me how much that just one regression could open, how many doors it could open up, and why you were everything from your sexuality to the people you attracted to whether or not you like dogs or cats, or so much of that comes with us. So everybody doesn't need a past life regression, but if you have something that recurs over and over, if you're obsessed with Egyptian artifacts, you know, maybe study some Egyptian history, see what's going on. Everybody was not the Pharaoh, and everybody was not Joan of Arc. You don't know how many Joan of Arcs I've met, and everybody was not Thomas Jefferson. But, you know, everybody, you could have been in a time period, and I think the secret to a happy life, to a content life, is to understand that we don't need to go back. Once you've understood it, it will go away. If you have a recurrent pain that has something to do with a past life, it's amazing when you realize that's where it came from, that it can go away many times. Some people won't let it go. I did a past life regression for a man who had a wound that the hospitals couldn't cure on his ankle, and we did the regression, long story short, but he was riding a horse. He fell off the horse. The horse dragged him. His ankle was stuck in the stirrup on the horse. He died from hitting his head on rocks going across the desert. He didn't really believe in it. But once he realized that, he said, oh, well, maybe that could have happened. Maybe that's why I'm having this physical response. And he was able to let it go, and it did heal. But there are many children, they will have a scar that they remember from a past life. So every parent, and again, in many countries, it's accepted. They understand it. You talk to your ancestors, they expect that. I have a friend who her son, who's now 5 or 6, he speaks to her grandfather on a regular basis, and he tells him things about the family that even she didn't know. But we don't always trust the children to do that. And every child does not have a profound attachment. But I think if anybody who's interested, it's very good to study the process and then look at it in your own life, even if it's briefly, to see what's going on, because it's very powerful.
Carrie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Excellent right. question.
Yes, yeah. Great. And, you know, that's, I know what she's talking about because I recently read that article, I guess, in the winter version from the UVA Alumni Magazine.
It was in my
recent Alumni Magazine. In fact, once the holidays are over, once we get into the first week of 2014, my goal was to see if I can get that professor onto the program.
Oh, good. That would be wonderful.
So we'll see if we can work that out. Phone line is open. Thank you, Carrie, for your call. 434-979-0919. Call up your question for Lee Channing. You can go to leechanning.com or Spirits Evolving. That's Spirit with an S at the end of it, spiritsevolving.com, leechanning.com. Talk to her live today, 434-979-0919. Lee, we were talking about addictions before Carrie called with her Great question. And about how easy it is to be, you know, we seem to focus on things that are negative addictions. Smoking is a bad addiction, but to chew gum to quit smoking, you can become addicted to that and not even realize it.
Right. And of course, everybody looks at, you know, alcohol, drugs, legal and illegal. You know, those are the biggies, and they certainly are. And one reason, of course, is that they're so physically dangerous for us, whether, you know, whatever that addiction is. But, you know, anytime you have an addiction, you're putting a lot of energy into it. If that addiction is reading, you may be reading, and not absorbing any of it. Some people want to read all the spiritual books that ever come out, but then they don't absorb it. You know, they get the knowledge, but they don't get the wisdom. So they read the book every moment. They're reading the book. They can't stop it. So they're really not getting much out of reading that book because their addiction is reading, not gaining knowledge, not letting it absorb. We all need time to absorb, you know, and whatever your addiction is, you know, if it's sugar, that can be extremely dangerous, too. So you can make a list of is gum an addiction? Oh, sure, it can be an addiction. It's not nearly as dangerous as drugs, alcohol, sugar. Reading is not as dangerous, but you're still avoiding positive energy in your life when you're dealing with any kind of addiction. And, you know, relationships can be very dangerous addictions.
And for, you talk about smoking versus gum. I think for some people, the focus is on, I want to say, the product, if that's
right,
the best word
right.
to use.
Well, of course, and there's the chemical
changes.
Rather than
the behavior
right.
that goes along with it.
It's interesting with smoking, too, because, I mean, I worked with someone who actually had lung cancer and was trying to stop smoking. And what after doing a reading, what I figured out and he ended up agreeing with is that he was as addicted to the guilt of the smoking, the emotion that accompanied the smoking, as he was to the nicotine, because he could really leave the cigarette alone sometimes for a few days, but he realized that he missed feeling guilty. So one thing that we tried was smoke all you want tomorrow. No guilt. Tomorrow is smoke cigarette day for you. And he said the cigarettes taste terrible. He didn't enjoy his day. He was miserable all day. So what it ended up was, it was really quite a learning lesson for all of us, was that, you know, there's always an emotion that goes along with it, or you're drinking to cover up your emotions. Most people that have an alcohol problem are very sensitive people, and they don't want all those emotions wandering around in their energy, so they dull everything. So everybody, and it can be different. I mean, some people obviously drink for different reasons or smoke for different reasons or eat sugar for different reasons. There's always an emotional component. But if you look honestly at your life and see your addictions as something that some things that may be affecting your life and what you can do to make it better, everybody can make their addictions better.
But, you know, so we talk about the upcoming new year and the resolutions that people make.
Right.
How do you make a resolution out of an addiction so that it is more functional right. and possible?
Well, number one, I say don't make it on New Year's Eve. Don't call a resolution. Just get up tomorrow morning and say, you know, I'm smoking too much. This is not good for my lungs. So I'm going to lessen the amount. And I'm not going to find an excuse. People do that, particularly, again, with some of the more dangerous addictions. There's always an excuse. It's a rainy day. I hate rainy days, so I need to have a drink. It's a bright, sunny day. That sun really bothers me, so I need to have a drink. You know, my friend called me. Got tired of hearing that, so I need to get a drink. My friend never called me. She doesn't love me anymore, so I had to have a drink. There's always the excuse. And, I think with people with serious addictions, if you start looking at the excuse, it's not just chemical. Yes, you are addicted to it with nicotine. Absolutely. The nicotine patches can help. Gum can help. Hypnotherapy can help. But about 80% of the time, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, you've got to have your energy ready to quit and say, I'm going to do it. If you can get through 3 weeks with any addiction, you're really way ahead of the game. It's that it takes our bodies about 3 weeks to shift addictions. And, you know, so if you, in that 3 week period, watch yourself that you're not picking up something else. Again, you know, pick at least the addiction that's the least damaging to your life. If you're addicted to a relationship and you're starting to realize that, There's physical violence. There's emotional abuse. Whatever it is, say, I don't need this addiction anymore. You know, back up a little bit, because once you put the word addiction on there, you'll feel differently about it. You can say, but I love him. You have no idea how many times I hear, but I love him, but I love her. But maybe you're addicted to that person. Maybe you've developed an addiction to some parts of that relationship. So it's a very powerful time around this time of year to work on making yourself healthier in every direction.
Are there any good addictions?
No. There are good habits. If you walk a mile every day, that's a good habit. I think people can take running and make it an addiction until they run their body down. Some people can do all their running and it's not. It depends on the energetic focus of what you're doing. You can do it with a clear, open energy and go, okay, good. If you miss it, you go, I'm sorry, I missed that yesterday. But if you are really addicted to it, no, it's not good, because it's not in balance with the rest of your life.
I see the phone is ringing up, so I'll let Brandon get that. Let me tell you to check out the WNRN studio sessions on our YouTube channel. Alabama Shakes, Robert Cray, and Wild Feathers, just a sample of the intimate studio sessions that you can watch. Go to WNRN.org to see the Independent Music Radio's YouTube channel, made possible with support from TuneIn. All right, let's see. Step one, step two, step three. Aisha, are you there?
Yes, hi, this is Aisha.
Hi, question for Lee Channing.
Yes, first of all, I really want to say I'm really appreciating the show. I'm driving through Charlottesville on my way to Alabama and just happened to hear you.
Well, thank you.
And I'm really, really enjoying it very much. I had a question, especially related to this question of addiction.
Okay.
And being addicted to relationships. I've just come out of a 15-year marriage, and there were a lot of troubles in that relationship, but I felt like perhaps, there was some emotional addiction there despite the issues that we had in the relationship. And I just wondered if there's ever a time to, look at a relationship and its pros and cons and then just make a decision that despite whatever emotional baggage you may have in a relationship, that it's still worth fighting for.
Aisha, I'm going to let Lee answer and let you listen on the radio, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No, that's a good question, too. And again, so many of these questions, I wish we even had more time. But, once you realize that a relationship is so far out of balance, you're very aware, to make it personal to you, you're very aware. So you need to find a relationship that feels extremely comfortable, even more than some people. You are just not going to tolerate this up and down and back and forth with an unhealthy relationship. It's not good for you physically, emotionally, or even your spiritual growth. But I think that relationships are rarely worth, quote, fighting for, because usually that means they've gone over the edge. They're going south, as we said earlier, and they're not going to come back. So many people hang on for years and say, I'll do it after Thanksgiving. I'll do it after Christmas. We'll work on this relationship later. We've got the children. We've got the money. We've got the job. We've got the business. If you have to say, I've got to really work hard and fight for that relationship, it is usually not worth it. And I don't mean that you give up easily. Relationships are very powerful places for growth and love and compassion. But if you look at the end of each day and you think there's more painful energy in this relationship, I'm not growing. If you're growing at the same rate, then maybe, you want to do some counseling. You don't want to meditate together. You want to add some things in. But if you're both wildly going off in different directions, it's better to let it go when you really realize that, instead of waiting. Then each of you can have a better future and look for a new relationship.
Thanks, Aisha. Lee Channing here with us. Just a few moments left. Sunday morning wake-up call. We'll have Lee back again in the spring, maybe after better knowledge of the phone system. Lee, just to follow up on Aisha's question.
Sure.
So you talk about addiction. She's talking about the addiction to the relationship, and you're
right,
talking about knowing how you feel and how your partner feels. But certainly there are times when you're wrong, when what you're feeling is more of an immediate something's happening and you're viewing it through, not through a complete window.
True. Yeah. Wrong kind of push my buttons. Your honest feelings are not wrong, but your husband has an affair. Do you run and get a divorce? Not every time. No. You know, you need to work through it. What's happened? How did you get there? Take some of the emotions out so you don't just give up on a relationship. But are you addicted to this man who hits you or who does this or that? You know, really look at it honestly, because you will rarely, I can't think of a time when somebody was wrong when they said, we've gotten to that point where it's not healthy. Looking at the moment, just today, you don't make decisions in a day. But when you can look back over a year and say, this was really painful. You know, this is not. I know plenty of people who've had a really hard time in a relationship and gone back and worked, and they began to grow together. But you've got to have the confidence in your own energy and not try to fix the other person, number one. Only work on you so that the two of you can do together. One person can never fix a relationship. That's probably pretty important for everybody to remember as well.
Aisha, please drive safely. Thanks for tuning in. Lee Channing, have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Rick. It was wonderful to be here, as always. Happy New Year.
And we'll have you back in the spring.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. I'll be off next week. We'll have the 30-minute throwdown and some other programs happening. See you in 2 weeks.
This has been your Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on WNRN. The Wake-Up Call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.
...919 WNRN Charlottesville.
Choose life. Choose a job. Choose a career.
W266BQ, Rose, serving Stanton and Waynesboro.
Choose life.
89.9 WNRS FM, Sweetbriar.